Right. Okay. Okay. Anyway, I've been in town for, since 1973. My background is architecture and urban planning. I came here to design and be project manager for the College of New Caledonia when it was first created out of the vocational school. So I've been involved with town planning and architectural side of things for some time. When there was a MDF plant, medium density fiberboard plant, that was proposed in the mid 1990s, and I and four other people independently, although we got together after, we questioned the we appealed the finding by the Ministry of Environment that they would give a permit to that plant. And so that was my first inroads into this sort of thing. Out of that eventually came PACHA, and People's Action Committee for Healthy Air. And I was one of the founding members, but I didn't, because I was working at the college as a what's now called Dean of Technology. I didn't want to be associated with people that were potentially going to be carrying placards on the streets, et cetera. That wasn't my way. And so I decided not to go on to the board. But anyway, today, Marie Hay quit. Not Patcha, but quit being the CEO for about 2 years ago, and I took over. So I'm the chair, what I call chair of Patcha, which is not as active as it used to be. We used to have about 700 members, but the way things are going right now, maybe we need to regroup to a more substantial group. So I sit on PG Air, representing Patcha. So I'm very much involved with this. I am a researcher on the internet and do a lot of research. My son is a PhD doing research in the human genome in Ottawa, and so it sort of runs in the family.
So, Joe, there's been quite a bit of favorable press about this Sustain Technologies plant that is proposed for Prince George. In general terms, how are you feeling about it as an informed resident?
I'm not being informed. It's a sales job. I don't know a couple of things I don't know, and I doubt that very many people in the city know. Number one, how did they get to come here? Is it like a salesperson, that comes to the door and tries to sell Encyclopedia Britannica? They have been given money by the federal government. They have a plant going in Halifax. I've been to their website. There is not a single thing on their website that has any kind of scientific information about what kind of pollutants are put out by the plant, where the fuel is sold, where it goes to. Is it going into vehicles? Is it going into manufacturing processes that need heat, that need energy? Where is that fuel going? Is it going to be going into diesel trucks that are going to spew whatever comes into that? And diesel is not the best fuel, especially when, what, 30 years from now, we're not supposed to have any combustion engine anymore, and we're going electric. I'm sorry, but I need to know that kind of information. I don't have that. It's not on their website. It's not in their presentation to council that they made. I looked at that PowerPoint. Absolutely nothing. I don't think there is a person on city council that understands what I'm talking about or cares what I'm talking about. I don't know who at the city does this. I don't know whether economic development got them here or whether economic development and the regional district ever looked at their landfill, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and what to do with the landfill. So there's I don't think that there's anybody on staff at the City Hall that understands what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so it is a very quick time frame for approval, with the company saying they hope to be up and running by the end of 2022. Is, in your experience, is this typical? And is it, why do you think that might be?
The city is no longer, and it's not only the city. I'm also involved in tariffs with some of what's happening in tariffs with railroads and developments next to railroads, which is downtown there, similar to ours, but much closer. I don't think cities are as democratic anymore. And maybe I shouldn't say cities. I know that this city is not as democratic as it used to be. When the MDF plant was proposed, I mentioned before, in around 1995, they came in and they had a public meeting. And they identified what they were going to do or what they were proposing to do. And we had input into that. Now they're having, although, you know, the meeting is, I realize that we're in COVID situation, and which has stopped the hearings, the Ministry of Environment hearings on the olefin plant, or the ethanol plant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so things are going slower, so some people could use that as an excuse, which is relatively valid. But there has to be something that's the equivalent of that. There's no indication. I have not heard council. I did not listen in on the council as to whether anybody asked those kind of things. You know, whether Brian Skakin, for instance, would typically be a person that would ask those kind of things.
Hmm.
But so, you know, it's not up to the city. The city people are you know, the councillors are elected by us, and recently they've been shown that they don't know what they're doing, you know, with the parkade, et cetera, et cetera.
So I'm interested to hear what might facilitate more information made available to city council, but also more importantly, really to residents who want to engage in this process and have their voices heard.
Right. There should be, and the only, so I didn't do too much research. I spent probably about half an hour to go through, and I found a site on MIT that has some information on this kind of conversion of garbage to fuel, to diesel fuel, basically. There is an outfit in Edmonton that is working on that. And they're working actually with the olefin plant Nova outside of Red Deer, which is similar to the one that's being proposed here. The three people that are proposing that actually worked for Nova. At one time, so they're working with an outfit, Enerkem, E N E R K E M in Edmonton. They're working with Nova to recycle plastics, and the plastics from the garbage. They're already doing creosoted timbers that are old telephone poles that they're burning up, etc. So. It's not as if the city is doing the research and finding these kind of locations where attempts have been made or where something has already been working for 5-10 years, and they have good information on. The city isn't going out looking for these people. The people are knocking on the door, and it's like I said, you know, it's a encyclopedia salesperson. And the kind of visuals that they produce for council speak nothing about those kind of things that I'm speaking about or anybody on Facebook that is concerned about this or anybody that you know, in the city that's concerned about it and is relatively quiet about it. Oh, well, you know, what can I do about it?
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, Sustained Technologies is, at the end of the day, a for-profit enterprise. So what do you think are some of the concerns around the impact of pressures of having to stay profitable, especially considering the changing landscape, like you mentioned, you know, the possibility, the likelihood of phasing out diesel cars in the not-so-distant future?
Garbage is not a dead-end business or process. We can recycle more. We can buy fewer goods. You know, that this is a an economy that we're living in that needs to buy things, needs to package things, you know, in ways that we never used to do. So, you know, there are things that if you have a futuristic look at, you know, that are sort of interesting. No, we're not doing a good job of taking care of our environment. We just put some of it in landfills. We put some of it into the air. We put some of it into the water, into the oceans. Nobody seems to be responsible for it. It all starts at home, and home is Prince George. It starts actually at, when you're talking about government, it starts starts at the municipal level. Your local government is the best one that's in touch with the people. There is no environmental department as such at City Hall. Some of the departments deal with environmental matters, but there is no central clearinghouse at City Hall for that. We used to have, as I think I mentioned, we used to have a Healthy Communities Committee of City Hall. I was on that with a number of senior people, business people in town. I actually brought with me today, not for you as much as for I'm having coffee with some people, for them. Dave Yarmish, who used to be the personnel manager at Canfor, he was on that city council committee with me. He came back from Vancouver one time, so we're going back about 20, 25 years ago. So look at what I found in Vancouver. Somebody gave me. It was a piece of half a piece of a core looking plastic, about four inches in diameter, and it was garbage encased in plastic. And they were making fence posts, among other things, that you can saw like you can saw wood, except that you don't have to creosote the wood, or you don't have to put any other kind of preservative on wood to preserve it when it goes into the ground. This stuff, you know, will last for 100 years, 200 years, whatever number of years. Nobody in this city at that time, nobody in this city at this time wanted to do it or probably knows about it. So there is nobody at the city that, and the regional district, because it's a regional district landfill, there is nobody there that does that kind of research, researching materials, not researching on the materials, because other people will do that. So they don't research what other communities are doing with their landfills. They're not capturing the ethane out of that, the methane out of that, and processing that into fuel cylinders and selling it as a fuel. They could be doing that. Some other cities are doing it. Some other cities, especially in the United States, have been doing that for a long time. You need volume for that, and I don't know whether that's economical in the city of Prince George. But as you know, Vancouver is sending their landfill out to wherever, close to 100 Mile House or someplace like that. So they're trucking it all the way. Imagine the fuel that they're using. Mm-hmm. So there's nobody here doing that. We need an environmental department.
Hmm. Yeah, so it sounds like at the very least, there are potentially other options that haven't been explored before, kind of jumping headfirst into this this sustained
right.
proposal. And Joe, just to wrap up, what are some of the most important questions you feel like need to be answered before you as a resident and as someone who has been doing this work for a long time need to have answered before you can?
Well, number one is location of the plant. Okay, let's say I think using garbage for other purposes is a great idea. Well, basic idea is sound. If there's a plant that's required, that it will have some emissions. They could be water emissions, soil emissions, air emissions. This city, as you know, is mainly concerned with air emissions. It's bad. It's not the worst in BC anymore, except on the occasional year, but it's definitely second or third. And depending on the location, the south of the city is bad. If they put it in where Canfor site is, it's going to be relatively bad. If they put it at the landfill site, which I don't think is a proposal, but if they put it anywhere west, it's bad. It needs to be trucked out to where there are as few people as possible. It's hard to find. But, you know, so Salmon Valley has always been looked at for that kind of purpose, but not an urban area where you have higher density and an urban area that potentially is growing over the time of a plant. You know, so if a plant has a 20 or 30-year life cycle, you'd better look at, well, if it's going to be going south, College Heights is going to expand. And if the city grows at all, then it's going to be expanding that way towards where the Oliphant plant is supposed to be going. Poorest area possible. So location is important. Number two, the pollutants that are coming out of the plant. I tried to find this morning and I wasn't able to, but I might still be able to find it. There is you might know that there's a national pollution inventory that every plant has to give to Canada the amount of pollutants that were put into the air and the water and the soil. I'm concerned about air. I couldn't find that for the Halifax plant. So I would like to know that from the plant. What pollutants are you creating in that plant? Number three is where is that fuel going to be used? Because you're taking that product from the garbage that has probably heavy metals in it, unless you're separating those. So what parts are being separated? What chemicals are still left in the fuel? And diesel fuel is poorer than gasoline, so it's not a very, it is a more pollutant. The particulates are smaller, et cetera, et cetera. So if it goes into cars as an additive, for instance, with gasoline, that's going to be a problem. It's going to be spewed all over the city. So those three pieces of information must be given by the plant before I can make a I personally, and I hope many people, can make a decision. This is a reasonable plant, or this is not reasonable, and here are the reasons why.
Yeah. Well, Joe Graber, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.